There may be some cautionary tales for champions of the Arab Spring in the events of the summer 20 years ago. In August 1991, republics of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics started declaring their independence, and by the end of that year, the USSR went the way of Austria-Hungary, the Ottoman Empire, and Imperial Germany. It dissolved. The scholar Leon Aron writes about those events in the July-August issue of Foreign Policy in an article with the provocative title, "Everything You Think You Know About the Collapse of the Soviet Union is Wrong." And Leon Aron joins us from St. Petersburg, Russia. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Bob.
And tell me, as you would have it, the thing that we get wrong about the end of the Soviet Union is the notion that it was the economic failure of the country, it was the failure of political integration of minorities in the republics. That's not the central problem, as you would see it.
I would put it a little differently. Those were huge problems, and they tore the place apart once the process started. The real issue is how it started. In other words, there are plenty of structural, material reasons why the Soviet Union should have collapsed, but they don't explain why it collapsed, when it collapsed. And I believe that it started with a moral quest, first by the leadership and then by the elite, and eventually by enough men and women in the country at large, a quest for a more dignified, more moral life than the one that they had.
You're describing a revolution of rising moral expectations.
Moral expectations, yes, but I would even say of more exacting moral standards. In other words, what happened is that people looked, a country, I should say, looked at itself in the mirror, and it was horrified. And people realized that the society that they considered fairly just and fairly happy is nothing of the kind.
Something similar happened in Tunisia this year when people in the coastal cities, people exposed perhaps more to a European way of life, read about, saw pictures of life in the interior where a fruit vendor was humiliated and set himself afire. It was similar. People were aghast at what their country turned out to be like.
I am convinced that in the end, that revolution, as every great revolution, was about dignity. It was, in the end, the realization that the current economic, political, and social system insulted their dignity as citizens, their dignity as human beings, and hence the moral urge, kind of the moral imperative of liberty, both political and economic. And I think this is the route that Iran has traveled, but it was suppressed. This is the route that eventually China will travel. It's inevitable. People, once they realize that their dignity is daily insulted, they generally try to do something about it.
So one message from Eastern Europe to the Middle East would be a successful revolution is one that continues to maintain the dignity of people.
Precisely. And here we come to a problem because the initial impulse could be to dislodge the insulting regime, but not enough, say, in the case of Russia. It's still a far more dignified place than it used to be, but not as dignified as those who preached in the time of Glasnost hoped for. And here you come to the lack of leadership, and I think even more importantly, to the traditional political culture. And that is a very, very hard thing to dislodge or change, but not impossible.
Leon Aron, thank you very much for talking with
us. Thank you, Bob.
Leon Aron speaking to us from St. Petersburg. His article, "Everything You Think You Know About the Collapse of the Soviet Union is Wrong," is in the current issue of Foreign Policy. It's also the first chapter of a forthcoming book.
Thank you. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.